Government Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this March the 18th on the West Coast, now March the 19th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome those listening around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on BlogTalkRadio.com. We've got two guests this evening. Before I bring either one of them on, I want to mention something which kind of pertains to what the mainstream news has been reporting and it's got everybody up in arms in the alternative media, especially those that listen to internet talk show of the radio variety. Now, we have been listening to all of this, I don't know what to call it. To me, it's garbage. This healthcare plan is extortion. It's forced extortion or blackmail. It's draconian in nature, and it has been something that many congressmen have been against. At least they're partially listening to their constituents. Yesterday, and I'm speaking about on the 17th of March, St. Patrick's Day, Dennis Kucinich, the congressman from Lakewood, Ohio, near Cleveland — Lakewood's actually a western suburb of Cleveland — announced that he had changed his mind and was going to vote for the health care bill. And his reason for doing so was that he didn't want to be blamed for being the one that had it turned down. What a ridiculous statement that he should make. In fact, after saying he was going to vote for it, he said he didn't like anything about it. Didn't think it was good for the American people. There were many, many problems with it. And those of us who've seen it are inclined to agree with that statement. But certainly the flip-flopping, which was actually called out on the radio in Cleveland on WTAM 1100, Mike Trevisano told him he should be wearing a skirt, the way he's flip-flopped. Nothing against the ladies, of course. Trevisano referred to Kucinich as a man's man, hardly, but nonetheless, he's gone the other way completely. I think he's been hanging out with Barney Frank a bit too much. So we're going to talk about one aspect of healthcare, and we've been fighting this rumor, this lie about a pandemic. There is no pandemic, although they've been chemtrailing the skies across the country ad nauseum. Today in Ohio, it was like a checkerboard. X's, squares, straight lines, crooked lines, swirly lines, you name it. And it took them all day long to cloud up absolutely clear blue skies with poison. And I'm outraged, and you should be too. I know I've talked to many people who are upset about it, and we've got to start putting our foot down and demanding that it stop. Now, I'll leave it at that for the moment. We'll probably come back into this at some point this evening, especially when our second guest comes on the air. Anyway, I want to invite back a very interesting guest. I've gotten a lot of response from the listeners, and I want to encourage you to visit her website, trackingvaccinations.com. She is a vaccine researcher and has been for over 25 years, and she really knows her stuff. And she's penned a book called Tracking Vaccinations, The Autism Trail. And she's my good friend, Allison Jones. Allison, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How are you doing this evening?
Oh, great. And it's been a fun day studying the different ways they make vaccines, which is what I've been doing all day. There's just so many varieties of these brands of what they can do. It's really astounding that they're using the deadliest substances known to man for babies. It's really shocking to read how they know the different levels of why they're putting aluminum in and cyanide, no less, in some of these recipes, and mercury, of course, the toxins. And adults can handle the problems that come from the three main kinds of vaccines, but not children, and then not babies. And the vaccines for children are geared for the weight of a, they go from 6 weeks to 6 years. They're actually geared for the weight of the 50-pound, 6-year-old child. And yet these are given to 10-pound babies. And it's really shocking. There's three main kinds of vaccines. After people hearing me say this, we'll get to know them pretty well. There's the dead bacterial ones, which have the toxins in them, and then they put aluminum also. There's the dead viruses that have the mercury and also aluminum, and then there's the living viruses. And the dead bacteria, they're using aluminum also. It bonds, at the very end, they add aluminum to these toxins, and that makes them release really slowly through the body. So they make them last a long time, which is what they want. They want this to last as long as they can. Mm-hmm. And there's an acceptable loss. When you read the researchers' notes, the researchers' notes and try to translate for everybody all the scientific jargon of what they're doing. But even in the manufacturer's notes, besides from reading what the researchers say and then hearing the parents of victims explain what's going on, one can also go to the manufacturer's notes, and they will say the adverse events. They might have the figures wrong of how many suffered these, but they will, explain how there's, how you'll have this high-pitched crying and screaming and neurological complications and neurological deficit and convulsions, and they will tell you about that. These are the things that can happen. And then what I've been doing is explaining exactly why these things are going on and what makes them so dangerous. Because people, all they know about is there's mercury was put in it as a preservative, and then it was taken out, and then they think maybe they're all safe now. But mercury is used it's still in the dead viral ones just to count the germ particles, and they're chock full of aluminum anyways, and they have toxins, and they're super strains, and there's so many other things going on that people need to know about.
Yes. Now, Allison, on some past shows, we talked about the infants and how they're being given all these shots. Mm-hmm. And I want to kind of transgress into the adolescents, the teenagers, and young adults, and the impact that that these shots have later on in life. And we're finding out that there are many kids coming down with diabetes at a very young age, or there are so many different diseases. It's
yeah,
crazy.
Diabetes wouldn't be a problem. The biggest problem is really in giving these to kids under the age of two, for a couple of reasons. The reason there was an increase in the 1990s is they made them far more toxic, the dead bacterial ones, and then the living virus ones, they started giving them too soon. And babies should not really be getting these at all. The mercury, a budding brain cell, the minute mercury hits it, it just, shrivels it up. And that's what babies are doing. Their brain cells in the core foundation of their brain, in the center of it, is reaching out to make connections, and that's what's damaged in the severely autistic kids. Yeah, they should not be given this. But the ones then that are the most dangerous for the older kids would not be the ones with the mercury, though, they will suffer some damage too. It's just not as evident because they're beyond their brain has been able to develop its foundational structure.
Yeah, yeah.
But the living viruses are the dangerous ones for the older ones, and that's the ones I was going to warn about. They should not be having this chicken pox. They should not have the measles, the MMR. They're giving that again and again as they get older. Those are both very, very dangerous.
Okay, Allison, slow down a second, okay? All right, I'm not necessarily alluding to brain damage in the older kids. What I'm talking about are the attacks on the nervous system, the attacks on the immune system, and the side effects. I don't care what age someone is, if they're ingesting mercury or if they're getting mercury in their bloodstream via a vaccination, it's dangerous.
That's true.
Okay. That's true. The point I want to emphasize here, because let's take Gardasil, for example. Now, I don't know the specifics about Gardasil, but there are a lot of girls that are coming down with severe health problems. Some have even died from having gotten that shot.
Unfortunately, I don't know that much about Gardasil. I have not studied that one, which, as I recall, is for the herpes virus. And
well,
it could be, I'm not sure if it's
dead
or alive.
As a contraceptive.
Yes, it would just matter, for me, knowing how that they're made, it's a virus. If it's alive or dead, that would make the difference in how it's made, you know, and how dangerous it would be. When they're alive, they're far more dangerous. But they use nasty, nasty substances in all of them. And for some reason, they're repeating giving them the MMR. That one's given already as a child and theoretically should last for life, but I see them giving them before they go to college and high school, and the varicella, the chickenpox one too. None of these are good ideas. And the Gardasil, yes, I've heard some very bad things about it. I have mainly focused on the ones given to the children, but I will look into that for our next discussion for you.
Yeah, they're promoting it as a preventative against certain types of cervical, head, neck, vulvar, vaginal, penile, and anal cancers. And I guess genital warts as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's happening is they're finding out that some girls that are getting these shots are stopping their ovulation, those that have reached puberty, obviously. And there have been some deaths also this.
I believe it.
So, well, maybe you can look into that, and we can talk about that the next time you're on the show.
Yes, very easily.
I don't mean to presume that you know every single vaccine that's out there.
Yes, they're all made differently, and I do try to study how each one of them is made. But there are specific formulas, more or less, that they follow for each of the three different kinds. So I can still tell them an awful lot. I mean, basically, I study viruses and bacteria, and they have specific characteristics. And they're both very different. Hopefully people do understand, and there is a difference. And I was going to mention, too, if one goes to a doctor and when one has bacteria is what antibiotics work for. They do not work for viruses. And if a doctor prescribes antibiotics for a virus, you should get up and run out the door because it won't do a thing for it, and it doesn't make any sense. And a lot of them do that. I don't know why.
Well, I think some aren't admitting that it is a virus, for one thing, because I've talked to some doctors that do know that that antibiotics have no effect on viruses.
And yet they will still prescribe it?
Yet there are others that are diagnosing certain maladies as infections and attributing it to bacteria, of course, without doing the blood tests, without really considering what vaccinations their patient has had.
Yes,
so,
they don't. Mm-hmm. It's true, they don't take much into consideration. But in general, they can tell if it's a virus or a bacteria that's causing a problem in a lot of cases. And often they do know it's a virus, or they will say it's a virus, and they'll still give antibiotics for some reason, which is, you know, incredibly highly destructive. So people do need to know there is a big difference between the two, and try to find a smart doctor who can help them out when they're dealing with one. And it's interesting because antibiotics are actually made for more powerful bacteria, the proteobacteria. So they group themselves together and they form branches. They're almost a fungus. So they're really advanced. So it's kind of fascinating. We're actually using the toxins from more advanced bacteria to kill off lower forms of bacteria. And then, of course, you know, we used it too much and ended up with MRSA, which is just a common staph, but it's, you know, we have bacteria that covers every inch of our body inside and out, and then there's a lot of opportunistic ones waiting for a mistake to be made, which unfortunately a lot of doctors do. They cause iatrogenic disease, which is being disease caused by the doctor. And unfortunately we have a lot of that. Yep. And
now, maybe next time you can look into the human papillomavirus and the reason they're giving these girls Gardasil. Uh-huh. I mean, this is not, as far as I know, this has never been an issue with most girls. And yet they're getting these vaccines.
Yes, it's really funny. You know, it's the commercialization of absolutely everything, whether it's necessary or not. It seems to be the American way. Even with giving them babies, newborns, the second they're born in a hospital, if you're not careful and you don't ask them not to give it, they're going to give your kid hepatitis B, which is something that spreads like AIDS. They won't be having to deal with that till they're teenagers, and yet because it's considered one of the safer ones, even though it has mercury in it, because there's no obvious reaction right away, I guess they give that. I'm not quite sure why. But this is part of the reason that the health care reform that you mentioned in the beginning of the show is not going to work. America is not a country made up of citizens that, you know, go back for thousands of years and we're kind of connected. This is a big camping ground. This is people from all over the world who have come here for one reason, and it's really to make money. And it's to make money at the expense of others. And that's really the American way. So trying to heal people who have been made sick to make money off of them is the opposite of what they want to do, really. I do not see healthcare ever being able to pass here because of the way our country is designed and the fact that we have so many sick people here. I mean, it would just burden the system to be able to fix everybody that they've made sick.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, on the past shows when we talked about these infants or the babies getting these vaccines, and you described some of the brain damage that occurs.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of sudden death syndrome, some of these cases from things that I've read, and I've been studying this subject for a number of years, not just recently. You hear about these young couples that you know or their friends and family know really love their children and they don't abuse their children. And there have been some young couples sent to jail because the sudden death syndrome, whether it's a crib death or whether there's some brain damage recognized, has been blamed on this disease that all of a sudden came out because they wanted to divert attention away from the drug companies that were issuing these vaccines, which you described in great detail, the amount of brain damage that occurs in these infants.
Yeah.
They're calling this disease, this mystery or this injury, shaken baby syndrome. Like this was something that they knew about and had been going on for a long time, but it never came out until these new vaccines came out. I find it rather suspicious that they began using that name. And for a couple of years, there were people being arrested for this after their babies died or were under very, very severe stress and taken to the emergency room. Certainly someone had to know the cause of this. And I don't know. To me, it's ridiculous. I don't know many people that would just shake their baby like that.
No, of course not. And luckily, you know, most of the SIDS cases, it's just left at that. It's a mysterious thing. But of the three kinds of vaccine, that one's caused by the dead bacterial ones, which is HIV, that's the one for, or the DTaP, which is the whooping cough one. Those are the bacterial ones. And they're so toxic if they do not have enough antitoxin added to them. And they're made toxic because the target germ, which is pertussis or Hib, is so weak, actually, that the body would ignore it because it's a dead bacteria. The body, the immune system ignores dead bacteria, so they make them highly, highly toxic. And they're so toxic they have to put antitoxin in to keep it from killing the recipients. And they're very sloppy about measuring how much antitoxin to put in.
Mm-hmm.
So we're literally, I personally believe that the tetanus pretty much, if you don't have enough antitoxin on tetanus, it's going to kill them pretty fast. And I think there might be more survivors with tetanus, with poisoning from diphtheria toxin, which are the two that are used. Both of those are used heavily in babies over and over and over again. They give them diphtheria at least 6 times under 14 months of age, just in the whooping cough shot alone. And then it's given in the Hib shot just as many times. And these are huge amounts. I mean, we're talking right there between those two shots, that's a dozen doses of deadly diphtheria toxin with the chance of wanting them not having enough of the antitoxin added to it, which will kill them. And that's what's happening when the parents are standing over the kids trying to keep them breathing because, yeah, the hearts are stopping. The poison is stopping their hearts, keeping them from breathing. The parents are leaning over the cribs at night trying to keep them breathing. They're suffering from poison. And as soon as the poison wears off, which takes about 2 months for the body to excrete, they then give them more. They give them
okay.
another booster.
Now, in the event, and maybe we have to speculate a little bit, but I'm hoping that mm-hmm. you can add some information to this. Let's say the older kids that have gotten their shots already and they went through their infancy without any major problems, and then they suddenly develop allergies or chronic diseases of various types.
Sure.
Sinus
all kinds
infections,
of things can happen.
Ear infections, mm-hmm. those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
Can you make a connection between certain types of vaccines and those problems?
Oh, sure.
In the older kids?
Oh, sure. There's all kinds of problems. The living viruses are a huge problem. Those really need to be avoided. They can get into the central nervous system and the brain. They can get into just about anywhere, and the body will work its hardest to fight them and get rid of them. And there's something they have to deal with for the rest of their life. Just having that much aluminum retained in the body for so long, and the mercury and the diphtheria and tetanus toxins alone are hugely detrimental to the body, ruining the connections in the brain, messing up the chemistry of things. All kinds of things can go wrong. And then they have to, like, try to extract this stuff. They're using formaldehyde on these things, using, you know, the cyanide now to help strip the skin off the bacteria. And then they're saying, you know, only an acceptable amount of cyanide should be left behind. And, you know, it's kind of like the Goldilocks, premise, not too toxic and, you don't want to have it too strong and too weak. You want to have it just right. So acceptable loss is okay as far as they're concerned, just like their little soldiers. It's all right as far as they're concerned, because what's more important is that these vaccines work. It's not the damage they do. They're not concerned about the damage. They're just concerned that these diseases don't spread, and that's it. And if there's acceptable loss for that goal, then that's acceptable to them. And that's what I'm fighting here.
Now, cyanide is a poison.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using a poison to cleave the skin off of the HIB bacteria?
Yeah, the Hib bacteria. It has a strange name only because when it first came out, they thought it was a virus, but it's actually a bacteria. And they have to, you know, cleave the skin off of this thing. And, yeah, they're using cyanide to do that. And then at the end, they're throwing in all kinds of stuff. They're throwing in another, you know, they're putting these more forms of cyanide. It's a hexacyanide. And this is crazy. It's nice that it works so well that they have to use it, but they're so incredibly toxic. It's not funny. Oh, yeah. Let's hope they find a, you know, either they just, you know, give it up, that some of these germs are just too dangerous to manipulate into safe vaccines, you know, or, you know, and start either focusing on making them safe and not using them till they are. Perhaps would be the answer, but they're not. They, you know, it's big business. They're making millions of dollars, and they're not going to stop what they're doing. They've been able for 70 years to say that vaccines don't cause, you know, autism or SIDS or allergies when they do. I mean, just, and I know this not because I'm just speculating or because I've read enough statistics, is because I've actually been studying the actual science behind how all these things are made. And then it's really obvious how allergies are made in people giving them these, the toxic vaccines is what is causing allergies in them.
Mm-hmm.
These now, diphtheria, the tetanus.
There's something that surfaced last week or this past weekend. There was I think it was a CBS morning show that talked about HeLa cells. I don't know if you're familiar with those. These were extracted from a lady named Henrietta Lacks, L-A-C-K-S. Henrietta Lacks was a black woman who was being treated by a doctor, George Otto Gay, G-E. Why? And he took some of her cells, and I guess what there was some research going on where they were trying to keep cells alive in the lab.
Well, she died of cancer. I think I heard the story. She had cancer cells he took.
Yes.
Remember,
yes.
I mentioned on the last show that that's the latest thing. They used to grow the cell. See, you have to make the vaccine. You're actually growing the disease. You're growing the germ. You're growing the virus or the bacteria on a medium. And if you use regular cells of an animal, it always has to be a protein. The medium always has to be an animal protein. And unfortunately, animal cells have a limited lifespan. So they discovered that cancer cells don't. They, because they're renegade and they're trying to survive and they've detached themselves from being a unified cell, a sophisticated cell in the body, they're just reproducing rapidly and randomly. And that's the perfect medium for them. So vaccines, as you can read in any nurse's textbook, are being used, are being grown on cancer cells because the medium is perpetual. So yes, I had heard this briefly on NPR about this woman, and they were using her cells. They've been using it for decades now.
Since 1951. And they claim, I heard this, it was rather mind-blowing, but they said they grew over 50 million metric tons of cells from that one woman, and that they sell these to all the pharmaceutical companies and all the labs.
Mm-hmm. Yep, to grow. Mm-hmm.
And it was described as 150 Empire State Buildings.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, no, that's definitely something to wonder about. Because I'm surprised they've been doing it that long, and it must have been limited back then, because it seems fairly recently that it's become a really prevalent mm-hmm. thing, you know, that they're all using. But, yeah, using cancerous cells cannot be a good idea in the end. It seems fairly new. I'm going to look into even further, but having had a brother, Dr. Ronald Jones, who did a lot of cancer research, I know a lot about cancer, and I know that DNA loves to mix and match and share it up, and if you're, you know, that is what the viruses are going to do. They get into the bacteria. They like to combine their DNA with it sometimes, and viruses can even control bacteria for as long as they want before they decide to destroy it by multiplying and bursting out of it. This is crazy. A crazy notion. Yeah, so it's definitely science fiction gone awry. Every angle that you turn when you look at this subject, it's always shocking. I mean, I've been doing this for 25 years, and every day I can sit down and just be completely shocked. And then when you talk to the guys, the naysayers, that say, oh, no, you know, vaccines are like vitamins. They're completely safe. And they'll come up with, you know, say, look, we attenuate the viruses for the viral vaccines. But attenuation only reduces the viral population. That's all. There's a bunch of the viruses that are still very potent. And, you know, and so they kind of mask the truth when you try to look up the information about what's going on. A lot of it can be masked. You have to really get into researchers' notes to really find out the details and the truth. But it's,
well, if
science.
That they can measure that those cells in terms of buildings, in terms of skyscrapers. Whoa! Don't let Larry Silverstein find out about that.
That's a lot of vaccines. Yeah, and in the old days, see, they used to grow the pertussis, the whooping cough bacteria, and they would grow it in a medium, and you'd grow all these batches of it, and then that's literally they throw a little formaldehyde in and a little suspension material, and you're good to go. That's really what they were injecting in, pretty much straight through. It was called whole cell vaccine back until the 1990s. And
then
part of the
I was going to ask, do you think this is how cancer is getting into these vaccines then because of the research they're doing with HeLa cells?
Well, you know, I don't know enough about HeLa cells per se. And I don't know, I wouldn't, you know, the only one of the three kinds that appears to cause cancer is the living viral ones. From what I can tell, they all have different effects. You know, when you're talking about toxins in one case or mercury in the other, in the case of the living viruses, they the body will be forming pockets of cancerous cells around them, basically, dead cells. That is, it appears to be it will be a dead tumor surrounding this virus because they're trying to kill it. They're trying to give it, the body is lining up a defense of cells that it's committing suicide in those cells so that the virus cannot spread through them. And then you'll have like kind of a wall of dead human tissue then. And
mm-hmm.
those will appear to be like a benign tumor.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, a process. And then these can form anywhere in the body. And the brain is one of the favorite places for the viruses, living viruses to go.
Yeah.
Which, again, I must reiterate, the swine flu nasal spray was the most dangerous form of vaccine I've ever seen. That's a no-no. That's terrifying that they did that.
Yes. So, now, we have another guest waiting in the wings.
Oh, excellent.
And I'd like to bring him on to give him an opportunity to ask some questions on behalf
okay.
of some of the folks that he knows in the military. Certainly this is something that people in the military either have experienced or or are going to experience.
Mm-hmm.
I want to welcome to Evident Footprints our good friend and our regular Thursday night guest, Mr. Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to the show.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are around the world. Thank you very much, Don. I appreciate it. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon around the world. Miss Allison, how are you doing, ma'am?
Good, nice to talk to you. Thank you.
And I'm going to my listeners on Wind Talkers Radio Network, on my radio show, they're quite accustomed to your voice because we play clips of you from YouTube several times.
Oh, excellent.
And I am honored to be able to talk to you in person because you have some fantastic information.
Oh, thank you.
And, I've been listening here on the sidelines, and everything you say not only is on point, there are Marines, Navy, and Army, Air Force, Coast Guard personnel out there that are cheering for your stand on vaccination because we, the public, and the military are basically, we're entitled to convincing proof beyond any and all reasonable doubt that artificial immunization is basically, you know, safe for us, and we all know, we've got military men that we've talked to personally that were in Gulf War I that were given vaccinations who are now invalid Air Force personnel or pilots.
Yeah.
And they
were
their careers.
Mm-hmm. They were clearly guinea pigs. Mm-hmm.
So, you're right. You know, we're ecstatic over the fact that I'm sure you're aware of the Danish Medical Association who put forth homeopathic remedies for the cures of a lot of diseases and avoid vaccinations emphatically. It's all volunteer 100%.
Oh, yeah, a lot of countries are. Japan, too. Vaccination is voluntary in Japan. They banned it under the age of two back in the 1950s when we sent our first vaccines over and we gave them their first cases of autism. They banned it under two, and now it's all voluntary, and we wonder why they're so much smarter than our kids. It's kind of a running joke. But
yeah.
Yeah, and the military has had it some of the worst. Those poor guys that went off in the Gulf War, boy, did I feel bad for them, because they, at that point, were experimenting, testing their new, you know, this biogerm warfare that they were worried about. They were kind of convinced was going to happen in the Gulf War, so they tested some of the nastiest vaccines they could have possibly made out of, you know, anthrax and... Well, you can probably list for me better the vaccines they forced those men to get. But they're definitely some of the deadliest biological agents known on the planet. And knowing how this is not a perfect science, this is not just water freezing. It's not just a molecule of water freezing at a certain temperature. Making these vaccines is not a perfect science. And there's that wild card factor in absolutely all of them. And there's a percentage of damage that will be done through virtually all of them to a percentage of the population. And then if you take that fact and then you combine it with stuff like anthrax and all these bio warfares, they're going to be given some really deadly diseases, basically.
Yes, and now I have a question for Drew, and then Allison, maybe you can address this issue. Drew, you recall the ships that were reported having gotten the swine flu vaccinations?
That was from the girls out of that chimed into my show from Southern California. Yes, I don't know the name of the ship. It was never given to me.
Okay. Have you heard anything more since those initial reports? We had done a few shows about that back when that occurred. Was that last fall, if I remember correctly?
April. The report from the girls with the contamination of one of the United States Navy vessels that was in the Pacific with orders to go to the Gulf War region, they had to literally park that sucker at sea for 4 weeks because everybody on board came down with the flu, and it was extremely dangerous. And I won't go into the story, but it was leaked out by the wife of one of the chief petty officers on board, and this particular vessel had a number of personnel on board that were immune to this, but it was later discovered that those that were immune to the flu virus never took a vaccination. They came on board later after the entire complement of the ship was given the flu vaccination this last April, and then they were sequestered in the staging area for 2 weeks before they were put to sea, and they had to seek medical treatment from other vessels, which an aircraft carrier came to their aid and took care of those men. And then the big cover up came. The harassment of all the wives of the sailors that were on board that ship, the harassment of the Marine Corps Women's Association in Southern California, because they were the ones that leaked it on my radio show and on other talk show hosts in California. They spoke of it, and they were harassed for several months because they wanted the truth out there. And today, the last word that I got was every man and the number of women that were on board that particular vessel have all been given separate billets on other ships in the Navy, and no two men or women from that particular vessel are stationed together.
Hmm.
That's the last I have.
Huh. And this was last April?
Well, April was when they were given the shots, and June and July is when they were at sea and came down with the flu. And it was reported by one of the women that there were two people on board that died because of that vaccination. And we're talking about this supposedly pandemic flu that was supposed to hit this last year. And then you heard about this pandemic flu popping up all over the world at different places. But when you look at the population of the planet, you're talking about 6 billion. And the total people that came down with the flu was something in the neighborhood of less than 5,000. There was one story out of Brazil that showed that Brazil had the largest number of flu deaths of all countries, of all 190 countries in the world that were taking flu shots, and the total number of deaths was 670-something, I believe. And the population of Brazil is obviously somewhere in the neighborhood of about 190 million. And they were talking about the most deaths in the world was in Brazil. And it was ludicrous when you start looking at it. And they came down with the flu scare out of Mexico City, where there was something in the neighborhood of about 1,500 or 2,000 people came down with the flu pandemic. And nobody bothered to look at the fact that, well, wait a minute, 1,500, so let's give it the high figure. 2,000 people had this flu pandemic flu. They just contacted it. They were quarantining Mexico because of the flu pandemic that supposedly was running rampant. But there was less than 2,000 or right at 2,000 people or 1,500 that came down with the flu. Nobody talks about the fact that, well, wait a minute, Mexico City is one of the largest cities in the world with over 22 million, and you're talking about 1,500.
Right. Yeah. That was enough to start the fear factor in everybody, I guess.
Right. And the big deal was don't fly to Mexico, but when you were in Mexico City, if you went out to the airport to catch a plane, they didn't have TSA officers looking for bombs. They had medical practitioners out there checking your temperature. And if you had a fever, you couldn't get on the plane.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was enough to start the pandemic. Well, you know, it's interesting about that ship you tell me. The flu shot that had been around for years already had the H1N1 virus in it. But that flu shot assuming they got the dead viral flu shot because that's what had been on the market. But it's very interesting that they would get this in April. It doesn't really work, anyways. Or only will work in some of the people. It's kind of a toy.
Now, there was another report. Okay. Allison, there was another report at that time. There was a ship that went to port at Phuket, Thailand. And while the crew went
The crew was given shore leave.
Yeah.
And while the entire complement of the crew, less the duty complement, the duty complement is one fourth of the total number of crew members. They were there for duty for the 2 days, and during that 2 days, a high school. Brought their students on board the ship. Go ahead, Don.
Well, I was just going to say that they had given them milk and cookies, and there were a high number of flu cases as a result of that.
Oh, of the kids.
Yes.
Yeah, the high number, Don, tell the whole truth. The high number was of the number of students that came on board, two of the students died. And 98% of the students that came on board came down with the flu after visiting the USS, and I forgot the name of the ship, but they visited this destroyer, and within 3 days, 98% of the school came down with the flu, and two of the kids died that were in this high school. And right now, you don't want to be a naval ship going anywhere close to that port. There's a lot of hate there.
Well, you know, it's interesting too to hear that that the naval ship that was the original one you were talking about off the coast of California was in July, because that's the strain that they use for the living viral spray that came out in August was developed from a strain from California in July.
No.
So, I mean, you could read that's the strain they're using.
Now we get
and that's
two plus two.
Yeah, and then you can theorize, well, Mexico City is not too far south of California there. It's a little hop, skip, and jump.
Well,
and
that event occurred due to the long-legged Mac Daddy's Secret Service agents going out there a couple of weeks prior to his visit in Mexico City. And
wait a minute, Don. I've got an IM here from a Marine security guard from 8th and I, and he says here that Don's right with the long-legged Mac Daddy, but he does not recall the fact that the Secret Service was in Southern California just 2 weeks prior with Michelle Obama flying out to do a speech at the University of San Diego, or in Southern California. She was there for just one afternoon and then flew back.
I wasn't
this
even aware
very,
of that.
This was very intriguing, to say the least. Now, Michelle may not have even gone to California, but the Secret Service agents were sent out there because she was supposedly to go to California, and she didn't make it for some unknown reason. But the same agents were then directed from Southern California to go to Mexico City for the upcoming event of President Obama flying to Mexico City for a conference of nation states between Canada, the United States, and Mexico. I remember that. That's right. She was supposed to go to California. She killed that little episode. Secret Service agents and the Marine detachment that goes with the president or the vice president or the first lady, they were moved out of San Diego to Mexico City for that upcoming event.
Yeah, because remember the Baxter, I believe there's a Baxter lab there in Mexico City that makes the vaccine. So it would be very easy for someone
their,
to walk out of
the
lab
Baxter
with it.
Laboratory, the Baxter Laboratory with their agents from Germany work there.
Yeah, and it's very easy for someone to just release it, you know, just enough locally or, you know, a little bit around.
Well, the word was that they brought something from Fort Detrick with them when they went there.
I didn't know that.
That was the word that was out.
But then again, there's thousands of flu viruses out there, and you know, they all look the same, they all behave the same, you know,
well,
and they kill 100 people a day in the country too. So it's hard to say exactly what's going on.
Here's one for you in Jasper, Arkansas. The medical association here in Arkansas went in there and vaccinated the students at the schools. All the schools in Jasper, Arkansas were given the whooping cough vaccination. And within 3 months, it was a major epidemic of whooping cough in Jasper, Arkansas. It was reported all over the news. And a couple of children had died. This is like 2 or 3 years ago.
That wouldn't come from the vaccine, though. But they do it backwards. See, the vaccine is so yicky and dangerous, adults don't want to have it. And I don't blame adults. We intrinsically know these things are dangerous and we don't want them. So what do? We stick our kids with them. So it's adults who are walking around with a nasty cough. See, whooping cough isn't that bad. Adults have it. They don't even know they have it. There's no repercussions. It's just that it makes the throat swell enough to make it a little bit hard for kids to breathe. But you can give them antibody shots. And if you don't need to actually vaccinate kids under a couple years of age, you can vaccinate an older population to protect them. We don't really need to be putting the kids at a disadvantage and a danger if you know, one really wants to. But as far as, you know, actually getting whooping cough, there is an antibody shot for it. there is an antibody shot for virtually every disease, just like there is for tetanus, and that can help them get
Are you saying that we have an antibiotic shot?
Yes.
Instead of utilizing vaccinations, we should be getting antibiotic shots.
It's not antibiotics. It's called antibodies. But it's very similar.
Antibodies.
Mm-hmm. And they're actually, I mean, they do grow them in horse serum, which can make people sick sometimes, but they keep, but they're developing them for, you know, from human to human. And they're actually, somebody's antibodies that go to work immediately before you have a chance to make them. And then they minimize the diseases. And they exist for every disease, whooping cough, measles, you name it. I mean, the only one we're familiar with is the one for tetanus. And we all know it works 100%. You run in, step on a nail, they give it to you, no tetanus. So they have that for the other diseases, too. So we can really protect our children's brains by not giving this to them, maybe giving them to some older people, and, yeah, and doing a delicate little dance like that. There's a way to, you know, use a minimal amount of immunization for certain things at a certain stage to prevent, perhaps, disease from spreading through a population. But, you know, there's so many aspects to it. We need to understand the diseases a little more to see whether they're really that scary or not. You know, whooping cough is actually not that scary. We can work with it. But the vaccine for whooping cough is the dead one, but it is the very, very toxic one. It's one of the most toxic, along with Hib. And there's different brands, but some of them can be, oh, my God, it's incredible. And they need to add an antitoxin to keep them from killing these people, but they don't. So they're more toxic than ever.
I played one of your series that you posted on YouTube, and I've got a gentleman here right now that's IMing me from Rota, Spain, and he comes up and he says, "Remember, Dr. Eva Sneed came forth with the information in 2000 about the number of older people being given vaccinations for the flu in a nursing home, and there were over nine deaths out of the 22 people that were given the vaccine, and they all died of influenza 4 to 6 weeks after being given the vaccination. Does your guest host understand that we in the military are being forced to give vaccinations, and there's not much we can do about it unless doctors and people like her stand up and tell our congressmen to say, sir, no, sir?
Oh, yeah, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get someone to even look at how these are made. I mean, nobody is looking at this. They have turned a blind eye. The institution, the medical institution, doesn't want to know the mistakes it's making. It knows that it will, you know, be sued going back 60 years probably. So they just keep pushing everything under the rug. And that's why, you know, 70 years after some of the first cases of autism, they still claim to have no clues. And they are, yeah, turning a blind eye to this. These are incredibly dangerous. If all those people in the nursing home came down with flu, they must have been given a living viral. They do have flu shots. Some are alive. It's one of the few shots that's given both alive and dead. If it's alive, it will just sweep through their brain because they don't have a strong enough immune system. It's really designed to, you know, kill old people.
Allison and Drew, I want to take a moment before we run out of time and tell folks about Allison's booklet. Certainly this would be something to read. It's easy reading. It's very detailed. There's an amazing amount of information in it. I have it posted on my website at directlightproductions.com on my books page. Just click on books and then click on tracking vaccinations. And Allison's got a special for quantities of these. One booklet is $4.95, and if you get two, it's $8. 10 booklets, it lowers the price to $3 a booklet. Certainly, some of you out there can pool your funds together and make an investment and get these books out to to your friends and your family as well. Allison, can you do something special for those in the military? And I know Drew will help out too. He can post something on his website to draw attention to this. I've read it a couple of times. It's really important information.
Yeah, I would actually love to hear from the military and learn exactly which vaccines they're forcing them to take and how many times. This is like kind of an important thing to know. Because I know they're given some of the most experimental ones out there. They're given ones that nobody else has given, and they're given quite a few, and they've been really disastrous. So if anyone would be interested in going to my website, and they can send me an email through that, and just tell me, because I'd like to hear it more from those receiving it. I mean, I could look into seeing what is being given to them, but I'd like to hear the story from the side of the military people actually receiving them. And then I can do some more research into the specifics of those, which I will.
All right, guys, I'm going to tell you. You hear it from this lady right now. She's asking you, guys, you constantly call my radio show. You constantly send me emails that you're sick or you're being given vaccinations, et cetera. I hear from you all the time. So here's your chance, directly to the horse's mouth. If Allison will give out her website address, we will make sure it gets posted on the News and Views for the rest of you to receive it this morning on my News and Views page.
Mm-hmm.
And you have an opportunity to go directly to a lady that is outspoken, that's on the Internet. She's on the YouTube. You see her on my News and Views all the time when she's put out a new video. This is the lady you need to send your questions to, whether you're in the United States on active duty or you're out of the military and you have stories you want to talk about with her, or you're active duty and you're now stationed in Afghanistan or Iraq or any other military station, you can tactfully get in touch with this lady. Allison, would you give out your email address, please, or your website, either one, where they can get in touch with you?
Sure. Well, the vaccine autism. That's an easy one to remember. VaccineAutism@Comcast.net. Also, if they go to TrackingVaccinations.com, that website, there will be links to email me also. And I will. I will diagnose them, and I will give them ammunition for any fights that they have going on, or you know, I will help them in any way that I can, and I will be able to. I do have a link, you know, where I offer, you know, for donation, people can just call up and I'll give advice. But I also give it for free. I'm out here to help everybody. So yes, I would be honored if they wrote me and I was able to piece this together for them.
Okay. If you would, Allison, tell the listening audience about your booklet, Quantity Orders.
Oh, yes. Well, yes, you said, you can get... 10 for, you know, they're only $3 each if you buy 10 of them. And the book is loaded with diagrams. It has images in it. I have, you know, there's 44 pages. And I break it down as simply as I can. I start off with the three main kinds of vaccines and why each one is specifically different and toxic and or deadly, or whatever the case is. I discuss the myelin growing on the, you know, infant physiology, the myelin, that the insulation that needs to grow in the nervous system, and I have images of the brain being damaged, and some very important stuff that I have written in as simply as I can so people can understand this, because I do believe that everyone, you know, if we skip the complicated language and I just get down to, you know, so they can visualize on a microscopic level what's happening once these things are injected into the body, then they'll have a better understanding. They'll be able to argue back with their doctors. They'll be able to, you know, make the right decisions. I recommend that they always look up the ingredients in a vaccine before they take them or give them to their child. And if they have hesitancies, there is no hurry. They should wait. And I recommend they at least wait 2 years before they vaccinate their child if they are still considering to do so. But they've gone crazy. I mean, we're not getting vaccines for, you know, AIDS and Lyme's disease or, you know, Ebola or anything. They're just, you know, if they can make a vaccine they'll just give it to us, you know, as many as they can. And we've got 36 up to 40 going on now. And they're in combinations, which used to be a no-no. You used to keep the bacteria and the viral ones separate. Now they combine them all together. They're doing so many dangerous things that are technically no-nos, even in the vaccine world, which researchers call designer diseases. That's really what they are.
I have another question here, just a pop-up question from a local Air Force gentleman listening to 97.7, Top of the Rock, KDMR, Little Rock, Arkansas. Ask the lady if she has a way I can get 100 copies of her book, and would she give me a discount? I'm in the active duty Air Force.
I'll give them the wholesale. There's a wholesale discount. It's half price at $250. He can have the wholesale, sure. Anybody in the military can buy it wholesale. That's fine.
Okay.
And I they can see that on the website too. They'll just go where the booklet is, and there you go. So, yeah,
yes.
For just $2 and change, it's yours.
Yes,
what's the website again, please?
TrackingVaccinations, which is plural, .com. TrackingVaccinations.com. Yep. And originally, my son was paralyzed. I brought my son in for his first shot when he was 4 years old, and he was paralyzed by the DPT shot, and I figured out it was, you know, nobody knew what had caused it. And then I just took my medical background and I went into studying this and found out there was not enough antitoxin in the batch of tetanus toxin that he got. So he was paralyzed by the tetanus for 3 days. He could swallow and breathe, and that was it. And I am out to find out the truth for everybody. What's going on? What's happening? Every single side effect. I can find out exactly what's going on. I'm not talking pie in the sky here. I'm talking on a microscopic level, so one can actually see the molecules bonding. They can actually visualize what's going on.
Yes.
And,
Now I want to let the listeners know we've got to end the show. But if those of you who are in the Seattle, Washington area, Allison appears regularly now on Scan TV's Call to Investigation. And I think that's on Fridays and Tuesdays, right? If I'm Allison?
Yeah. It does air on Friday nights at about, I'm not even sure what time it airs at. I think it's about 8 o'clock on Friday night, Channel 77 out of Seattle. I do have a link of that, too, on my About Author.
Yes, and I can tell you, I've seen numerous presentations that she's given. She takes a whiteboard up there, draws diagrams, and connects all the dots. Very compelling information. She really knows her stuff, and that's why she's on Evident Footprints, to bring you the truth. So, Drew and Allison, I want to thank you both for being on the show. I look forward to Allison's next visit. Drew's going to be with me next Thursday, as usual, and I'll be on his show next Monday. Allison, great work. Again, great job. You're a fountain of information, and I want to encourage people, again, to go to your website, trackingvaccinations.com. Get the booklet. Get a bunch of them. Pass them out to your friends, family, and educate people.
Excellent. Thank you. Yes, there was so much I wanted to talk about. There's some I was going to read you some of the recipes. I was going to say from the horse's mouth. There's some shocking stuff, but we'll save that for next time.
Yes, I'll make sure I get you on early next month. Okay, Allison?
Oh, excellent. Okay.
All right. Thanks for being on the show. Drew, thank you, sir. Semper Fi, and I'll talk to you soon.
I'll be around. Semper Fi. To all my Marines around the world, Semper Fi.
All right, folks, that about wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, Windtalkers Radio Network, and blogtalkradio.com. Special thanks to Seth Hendrick on the sound. Also want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Also all the people that sent in IMs asking questions. Again, get Allison's booklet. You won't be sorry. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night or day filled with peace, love, and light. And those of you who have to hit the sack, have a good night.